Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday and it's January 9th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Marisa G., The 12 Traditions, Barbara W., and the readers of the text are Margaret D., Sari M., and Janice P. M. And today we'll be reading from the Big Book in How It Works on page 70, the first paragraph. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal through one paragraph ending with "these are facts out of our experience." And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's meeting, Wednesday, January the 8th, at 10 a.m. Eastern time is 22,000. 65, that's 22065. And for this morning's meeting, today, January 9th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22067, that's 22067. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T. And this person is Leslie M. So if you're a newcomer, please stay on the line at 10 minutes till the hour. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, our fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our meeting, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Marisa G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Marisa.
Good morning. Marisa G. from New York State. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we are entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve and for those that have served before me. I pass.
Thank you very much, Marisa G. And I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Barbara. Press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, everybody. Could you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, I thank God for a vision of this whole entire program, vision for you. That position one, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon all OA unity. Two, our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Yes. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still are suffering. Six, an OA group or to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of property and pervert divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no outside issue, hence the OA name, or to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public-related policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Everybody have a blessed day today.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works, page 70, first paragraph. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. And I will now ask Margaret D. to get us started. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Well, some people tell us so. But this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and on our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. Well, here's how it kind of worked for me. Definitely when it came to sexual relationships when I was married. I was married for 18 years. My life was absolutely unmanageable. absolutely, totally unmanageable. And I remember at one point walking down the hallway, literally pulling the hair out of my head, thinking, either I'm going to kill him, he's going to kill me, or I'm going to commit suicide. So when I say it was unmanageable, it was definitely unmanageable. I was filled with intolerance, selfishness, and people reacted accordingly to the intolerance. So, you know, did that mean I was going to compulsively eat? Oh my gosh, yes. You know, I was so filled with what he had done to me, and I was the victim. And don't they see what's going on? And, you know, I mean, it created all kinds of stressful conditions for the in-laws, my family, you know, my daughter. It was pretty horrible. So the half truth is, my motive, or not the half truth, but the other half of the truth was, my motive was not really to have a happy marriage. It was to get revenge. And thank God for doing, you know, the fourth step, because when that motive came out, I could really see how my ideals about what, you know, a healthy sexual life, marital life, anything including the other sex, even if it was, you know, like just being friends with my next door neighbor and his wife, how I treated men was just, well, I had that mindset, you know, that again, I was a victim, and if only they would have done whatever. So I could change on the surface. I could say I had forgiven him, you know, for whatever indiscretions had occurred. But I guarantee you the next time, you know, and things would settle down. And then when things settled down, I would go flinging the ashes, so to speak, around about what had happened before and crank it right back up again. So for me and my motives, I don't know that I was sorry. It was I wanted revenge. And I had to look at why I felt I needed revenge, and, you know, who is actually running the show, so many different things. But what I did learn was to be sorry for my conduct. And for, and I'll just wrap it up with this, to learn to go to God for my inspiration and my ideal about what, you know, a healthy sex life would look like, including marriage. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret D., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please let others share today. And I'll remind you, we are on page 70, the first paragraph, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal. And it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. Who would like to share?
Laura W. from New Jersey.
I got you, Laura.
Sherry M.
Sherry M. I got you, Sherry. Who else? Press star one if you'd like to share.
Becca R.
Becca, gotcha. Anyone else? Otherwise, we'll go with this group. Okay, we'll go with this group, and then some of you will get maybe a thought. Laura W., Sherry M., and Becca R. Everyone else mute except Laura. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. You know, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Yeah, I'm human. I'm going to fall short of my chosen ideals in every situation, probably. I like how they tell me, you know, they don't sugarcoat, pardon the pun, sugarcoat anything. They're just saying these are facts. These are facts out of our experience. We were just like you, and we are recovered now. And if I stumble, and if I'm truly sorry, I'll be okay, you know. And the biggest thing for me is being sorry is one thing. Changing my behavior is another thing. Mm-hmm. This whole book is about new relationships with old people for me. And I heard that said on this meeting. I didn't, you know, nothing I say comes from me. It comes from learning. It comes from listening, and it comes from practicing. And these new relationships I have with old people, especially my husband and my kids and my sister and other family members and friends, you know, it really helps me be able to stay, you know, to do things that I never thought would be possible. You know, God does for me what I cannot do alone. And it's the honest desire to let God take these things. Yes, I ask God to take my jealousy. I ask God to take my resentment. I ask God to take my motives of selfishness. And when it comes to sex, you know, what are my, where am I falling short? Where am I holding back or being dishonest? You know, these are things that this book talks to me about. And it's an uncomfortable subject to talk about, at least for me. But, you know, when I was used to, when my kids were little and I would yell at them at times and I would apologize right away and make amends. I remember my son saying to me one time, he was probably four, you know, he goes, "Mommy, it doesn't matter if you keep saying sorry, if you keep doing it." And I'm like, oh boy, you know, like, you know, everybody in my family starts to recover when I recover, you know, and I'm grateful today to know that these are facts. If I don't clean up my mess, if I don't clean up my side of, you know, I will pick up, and it doesn't matter if I have 20 years or 2 days. You know, these are facts. So I'm glad I have this reminder, and I'm glad I have this book to show me the road, show me the path. Thanks, I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Laura W. from South New Jersey. Sherry M., followed by Becca R. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey there. Good morning, everyone, or good evening. My name is Sherry M., and I am a compulsive overeater, gratefully living in recovery today in a recovered state. I am in Wyoming, and my heart is in Los Angeles. Okay, so the ideals. I have them all written out here on my phone, and it would take too long to read them here, and I won't do that, but I can tell you that some good podcasts that I've listened to with A Vision for You, special editions, are Gina R. and Cheryl A., and I copied theirs and tried to, what is my deal? I don't know how to come up with that on my own. I need help. Listen, I was molested by my dad, and then my mom married another perpetrator, and then I lived with an inappropriate stepdad for many years. So when it comes to this subject matter, I would withdraw and be afraid of men completely because of my experience. So my husband never needs to worry about me cheating on him because I would recoil from men. But, you know, the first time I had sex relations, I was in a blackout drunk because I was an alcoholic from the age of 12 on. So I have a very interesting relationship with this subject matter, and I get a lot of outside help for trauma therapy in order for me to show up and to be, you know, communicative, to be trusting of my husband, to be intimate, to be all of these things. It takes a higher power to transform me. This is the part of this paragraph that I love the most is it's talking about my motives. And we're trying to, you know, like it says in the AA 12 and 12 for step 6 and 7, I shoot for the moon every day with these motives. I mean, with my ideals and these ideals that I have are way up there. And then if I could just land on the stars, I'm happy with that every day. This is the part of the big book that separates the women from the girls and the boys from the men. What am I trying to do each day? I am trying to be molded in my higher power's image to live up to this, to be a partner. So how does this look? And I'll wrap up with this. yesterday, you know, when we're trying to send flowers for my husband's sister-in-law, you know, when I'm talking to his daughters, I immediately ask, hey, has your mom, you know, sent flowers? If not, let's include her on our card as a family. Let's include my husband's ex-wife in our card as a family. Oh my gosh, 5 years ago, I couldn't be in the same room with this woman without being triggered with jealousy and envy and all these other things. So this stuff gets healed one day at a time, 1 minute at a time with God. And I'm just so grateful that I have a new way of living and I fall short daily. And that's why I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. Thank you. God bless everyone.
Thank you very much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. And before I take Becca R., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 70. First paragraph. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. And after Becca, I'm going to take another lineup of people. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. Great meeting. Appreciate the shares so far. I was just thinking about, I also identify as a anorexic and bulimic. And so if you would have looked at a picture of me before program and a picture of me today, you're not going to see much physical difference. However, that part in our literature that talks about that entire psychic change, that internal rearrangement, I was just thinking how applicable that is to my relationship with my husband. I've been married 15 years, and I'd say for the first 10 before program, I had one foot out the door. I was always ready to bolt when things got hard. And, you know, you can look at pictures of us. We can talk about family vacations from then versus now. But there has been an entire rearrangement of thoughts, attitudes, beliefs within our marriage. Although, you know, we still live in the same house. We still go on the same walk. You know, there is something so different about our relationship that is only attributed to the recovery I've received in the program. And I used to be so self-righteous and selfish and self-centered, thinking it's not fair. Why am I doing all this work and he's not doing anything? You know, well, he's not a compulsive overeater. And now I just am so grateful for the opportunity. And I'll never forget one of my first mentors in OA would say to me, it only takes one person in the relationship for the entire relationship to change, meaning only one person can be in a 12-step program and get healthy and the entire relationship can change. And that's been my experience, not only with my marriage, but within my friendships, within relationships with my fellows. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. And I can say I've read this literature for nearly 25 years. And it wasn't until I came into Overeaters Anonymous about 6 years ago that I really heard this piece about what are my ideals? What do I want to grow towards? What would God have me be? And not just my sex life, but with my children, with my peers, with my sponsees. And it was beautifully shared before. You know, I just aim for the moon and settle for the stars or whatever. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Becca R. from Kentucky. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 70, the first paragraph. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. Press star one to unmute if you'd like to share.
This is Mark V. from Minnesota. How's everybody doing? This is
Mark, wait 1 minute. Let me see if other people want to share before I take you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Try to get a lineup here.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., California.
Catherine H. from Greece.
Catherine, Greece. Anybody else? Okay, I'll go with these four. Mark Z., Nancy LJ., Barbara A., and Catherine H. Everyone else mute except Mark Z. Good morning, Mark. And let us know where you're calling
yes.
from.
Mark Z., Minnesota, United States. Yeah, this is a great, great topic. This is so basic to our nature. There can be so much about sex that is healing and bonding. And but anyway, my ideal, I think, would be to completely stop masturbating, because a lot of our life energy, you know, I think I've heard that the word libido is life force, you know, and if we save all that life force to serve other people, you know, it's different in men and women. Men tend, after having an orgasm, get sleepy and lackadaisical. At least that's my experience. And I've heard that from many other sources that it's generally the case in men. Yeah, I would completely stop masturbating and put all that energy into serving, being of service to my fellows. And to maybe increasing my awareness of how I need to let go and let God, surrender my character defects, all those wonderful, beautiful spiritual things. Yeah, so that's my share for the morning, and so grateful to be here. Have a great meeting, everyone.
Thank you, Mark Z. from Minnesota. Next is Nancy LJ, followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Hi, everyone. Nancy LJ, California. And just wanted to check in, and this is so fantastic. You know, it relates to the sex. It relates to every, you know, just everything. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. You know, just for a recent miracle, one of my many, many miracles for my HP has been the relief or the annoyance with a coworker. And then she's been with me for 2 years. And I'll tell you, I was debating quitting and retiring early, dreading going into work every day because it was just, you know, how many 10 steps can I do? How many prayers can I do, you know? Well, you know what? Not too many. There's never too many because guess what? The miracle happened. And she and I are fine now. We really are. And she confided in a coworker and said, I don't know what happened, but Nancy and I we're just getting along so well. And that coworker told me, she goes, I'm really happy for you guys because I know there was tension, which is awkward and embarrassing, you know. I'm 66 years old, for God's sake. But it was me. That's what happened, my friend. It was me. It was God that changed me. It wasn't you. She's still the same person, you know. But yet again, I'm changed because day after day, time after time of judging her, just, you know, on and on. And I just hung in there and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and was sorry and was sorry and sorry. And of course, I'm like, you're not really sorry. You're getting something out of this. And probably all of that was true. But for whatever reason, God again gave me grace. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I just, I'm just going to get raw here. My little 13-year-old granddaughter attempted suicide last night. She's okay. I am going to go into robot mode, as I call it today, and I'm going to do my program in spite of myself, you know, in spite of everything I'm feeling, and I'm going to make some outreach calls, and I thank God she's okay, and I thank God my daughter and son-in-law are supportive parents, and she's had the help she needs, she's getting the help she needs. Thank God for our health system today, and educators I'm just so grateful for this program and for prayer and the steps and all of you. And I could use a little bit of prayer today if anybody wants to shoot one up for me and for my granddaughter, Samantha, and our family. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy LJ. We'll send those prayers. Barbara A, followed by Catherine H. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and thank you for a program that helps us work when life, I know it sounds trite, but gets lifey, when life gets real. We have a program today that can help us live by a new design. Praise the Lord. This paragraph, it depends on us and our motives. And I'm a little late to the meeting, so if I'm repeating, I just really got a hold of this. I don't know if they talk about motives any other place in the book, but here, what was my motive? What was I going for when I was acting or behaving a certain way in my sex relations, in my behavior, in my relationships? What was my motive? And I get really clear. But when I did the inventory, when I shared it, I got real clear about what my motives were. Self-seeking, selfish, dishonest. I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to be a certain way. By the grace of God in this program and working the steps, being humbled enough, humbled on a daily basis, humbled in every situation to really look at my motives. I have learned through this program that I've talked with sponsees about this. Giving of myself, getting out of myself, letting go of those self-seeking motives has been a true, true way to heal and recover in this program. I'm so grateful for this meeting. And like one member said, my heart is here in Central California. This is Barbara A. from Central California. And my prayers and thoughts are down with not only the fellows that have spoken on this meeting and their life situations, but also with the people in the Los Angeles County. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Barbara A. And before I take Catherine H., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 70. The first paragraph, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. And after Catherine, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. This is Catherine H. Calling from Greece. And I just wanted to share that, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and just wanted to share about a couple of really great friends, one that I had a really challenging time with quite a few years ago now, and felt very, very hurt and very resentful. And it's just taken so many years for my part to basically kind of bubble up and to feel ready to really look at my part. I don't know how exactly to make amends. I've kind of tried a few times and it's been a bit of a disaster. Another friend who I haven't reacted to, thank God, thanks to this program. And so everything is sort of intact. It's just in my head. But there's so much, I know that self-knowledge doesn't avail us anything, but there's so much scientific, sort of neuroscientific proof that truth-telling and honesty and it's sort of scientifically proven to help addicts, whatever part of their brain, I don't know, that in us that doesn't work like normal people, And I'm just really grateful for everybody on this meeting, grateful for all the voices out there that have helped me so much and come at sort of the right time. And I just really sort of wanted to open my mouth and claim my seat and express my gratitude to everybody on the meeting and everyone who's doing service. And the steps have just shown me so much and helped me so much. And it's such a joy when it all starts, the pennies start dropping. And it's just sort of miraculous. And I'm really grateful. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine H. from Greece. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? We still have plenty of time. Top of page 70, the first paragraph. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with these are facts out of our experience. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Melanie P.
Melanie P. Who was the second one?
Emily F.
Emily F. I got you, Emily, and I got Melanie.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ. Anyone else? I have Melanie P., Emily F., and Karen KZ. No one else? We'll go with that group. Everyone else mute except Melanie P. Tell us where you're calling from, Melanie, please.
Hi, my name is Melanie P. from Montreal, Canada. I just want to say that my heart and my prayer are for people from LA. What's come with this paragraph is I'm trying to do my amends, but I was trying to do it with my head, not with my heart. And what struck me when what people share before me and what's written in the book is if we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things. I have some amends to do, and I just want to do it with my head. But I think I have to understand that I make damage to others, and how can I be helpful and repair this damage? Maybe there's some repairing I won't be able to do it, but at least I have to understand that my action have an impact on others. I feel like I have to do more, but not only on others, but with myself and in my conscious and contact with God. That's what I wanted to share this morning. Have a good day.
Thank you, Melanie P. from Montreal, Canada. Thank you very much. Up next is Emily F., followed by Karen KZ. Good morning, Emily.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Thank you.
Hello, this is Emily F. from North Carolina. I'm recovering from compulsive overeating and bulimia. And this is the first time I've shared in a long time. I'm actually just getting back in the rooms. I wanted to share about how I believe in this paragraph that it kind of shows that I'm very young too, sorry. But I've learned from this paragraph that when we lie about why we are struggling with other people, like we say that, like, oh, I just don't like them because they're rude to me or they grind my gears, it kind of takes away from our point of view of why does that person bother you, you know? Why are you letting that person bother you? You know, I've had experiences when I was in school and somebody would, you know, I remember one time somebody was cheating off of me in the test, and I got really upset about it. I told the teacher about it, and she said, what do you expect me to do? And I was like, I don't know, have her retake the test or something. And she said, well, I can't do anything about it. And that really bothered me because I had worked so hard to take the test and to get a good grade. But it just goes to show that, like, sometimes there's things in our lives that are out of our control, and we have to learn how to manage them. And if we don't manage them, it's just going to hurt us in the end. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Emily F. from North Carolina. Before I take Karen KZ, I will have time for more. Who would like to share on this paragraph, page 70? First paragraph, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal, and it ends with, these are facts out of our experience. So after Karen, I'll take another, maybe two or three people. Good morning, Karen.
Thanks, Mo. This is Karen Casey in Missouri, and my heart, too, is really with the people in L.A. I have a sponsee that lives near that area, and I haven't been able to hear from her, so I'm praying for all those people. You know, this sex part has been one I've always tried to avoid, and I have been so grateful for all the vulnerable, honest shares that people have done. Thank you all so much. And on this particular paragraph, I have to really, this program enables me to see my character defects, to see how selfish I am, to see how dishonest, how self-seeking and fearful, and how I really affect people's lives, even if I don't say anything to them. You know, I can do some judging, and I know that we don't go to people and say, you know, I thought terrible things about you. That's not helpful. But I want that cleaned up. And I'm truly sorry for all the things I've done. And I continually, I've learned in this program with 10, 11, and 12, I make amends. My husband is who I live with all day long, so you understand that I do more things. It's so much better than it was. And I just have to ask God, I want God to take me over so that I don't do these things that are not who I want to be and who God wants me to be. Because I'm just so much happier when I'm loving and kind and helpful to other people. And that makes me feel better about who I am. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen KZ from Minnesota. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So I have time for maybe two more. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Carol F.
Carol F. And one more. Star one if you'd like to share. Otherwise, we'll go with Carol F. All right, Carol, why don't you take it away? See what goes on here.
Okay. This is Carol F. in Oregon. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sex and love addict. And these two pages have really spoken to me. I eat so that I'm just fat enough that I'm not attractive, and it's my way of protecting myself from intimacy, not just sex, but intimacy with another human being. And if I'm kind of a yo-yo dieter, so lose the weight and become attractive and go into my other addiction, is kind of a sense of fantasy and intrigue and false connection with another person, and then I get scared and I eat again. So that has been my pattern for all my life. Not to do that. Stop using my weight to hold people. Have kind of an invisible field around me. And I'm trying to change that. My goal for this year is to let God guide my relationship. Be connected in an authentic, loving way. If that includes a romantic or a sexual relationship, I want to try. This book and this program have changed my life. I'm trying to let go of that shield and trust that God will protect me as I go forward, as I try to do what I'm here to do. My motto is just work. And if I do what we call God's will, then I'm so much happier. I wanted to share. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Carol F. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Nirvana A. from California.
Okay, Nirvana, you've got it.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nirvana A. from Northern California, compulsive overeater. And my heart, too, goes out to all the people in L.A. My sister-in-law had to evacuate as well. And so all we can do is pray for them and send good energy. And also going back to this paragraph and what people have shared, I too find it it's so true that if I change, the whole dynamic changes. I always think of me putting on these glasses and my filters are red, so I'll see everything as red, and then I want to change everything that is red that doesn't suit me. And now I've learned to change the filters on my glasses and look inwards and see what I see from inwards, because ultimately I've come to realize it's from inside out that things change. It's doing the inside work that later on we'll see how in our real life we deal with people, and that's how it changes for me, at least. And I just wanted to thank everyone, especially you, Mo, and everyone have a blessed day. And yes, prayers for everyone, for the planet. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nirvana A, for taking us out. Okay. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And then we'll now ask Sherry M. to read page 164 for us. Good morning, Sherry.
Thanks. Yes, good morning again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.